Yeah. Let's get this party started. Dre, crank it up, man.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is. Give me 5 minutes, Robert. Here we go.
We got a lot of time. Yeah. That's
right.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is
now. Right.
It's a
fucking sports with the 12 man is on the air.
Hawaii, where you at, my peeps in Hawaii? Aloha.
my peeps in Cali, Utah. Oh, man, all across Atlanta, all up in the Big Easy. There's a lot of love tonight. Wow. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, of course. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. Today is Wednesday, May the 9th. We got a packed show. I think I put a bounty on somebody to protect me from Robert, just in case everything goes on. So, just FYI, though, I'm just
joking. The bounty's not going to work, man. You're not going to be able to stop me,
Doc. Oh, here we go. A lot of love, guys. Once again, for those that want to call us in, you know, the show number, once again, is 424-243-9519, and also we're on Twitter, Facebook, at 12th Man Sports as well. So we got a lot of things going on in the packed show as always. Robert, let me set the table. What we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to jump into the NBA playoffs. We're going to talk about Chris Carter's comments about bounties in the NFL. Obviously, this is a hot topic, what's been going on right now. We're going to jump into the top players in the NFL draft for 2013 next year. And Rob Ford, this is exciting. He's going to unveil his NBA mock draft 1.0. But, man, without further ado, Robert Ford, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Just ready to get this party started, man. It's been a long day, but I'm still ready to talk some sports. And I tell you what, man, we've been having some exciting games here in the NBA playoffs. Man, I stayed up to the very last second of the Denver Lakers game last night, and what a thrilling game. You know, I don't know, people that listen to the show for quite some time know I'm kind of a Laker hater. And so it was just a pleasure to watch the Denver Nuggets. You know, even though I still think the Lakers are going to win the series, it was a pleasure to watch Andre Miller and JaVale McGee last night. I tell you, those guys were putting on the clinic. And I tell you, it was a coming out party for JaVale McGee. I mean, he had 21 points, 14 rebounds. He had a dunk fest going, running circles around Andrew Bynum. It was a great game. It was great theater for those of you that stayed up and watched it. I mean, an incredible game. And looking forward to game 6 tomorrow night in Denver. I actually think Denver has a great chance to win tomorrow night and make it a game 7 in Los Angeles. Well, I think the Lakers will still pull the series out and move on. And, of course, your Hawks pulled out a thriller last night, a one-point victory over the Celtics, move on to game 6 for tomorrow night. I don't know if you want to give some feedback on that game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as you mentioned, a lot of great games that were being played. And, you know, obviously for the Hawks game, I think the Hawks got very, very lucky, guys. I mean, that's just something, you know, I think they're going to pull the game out. But the mental toughness definitely has to come in. Paul Pierce looks a little tired. Rondo's still running the show, but the Hawks have to play much better. They definitely let the Celtics back in the game. But, you know, as mentioned, that's just one of those situations, too. So we'll see how that goes out. As mentioned, you know, want to talk about, as you talked about, JaVale McGee. And it's just interesting to see whenever a player gets confident, you see him play so much better. And obviously you started seeing his confidence, knowing that he can play the game. He's always been a talented guy. And just to see him kind of blossom into a player, it's great to see, too. So, you know, a lot of great games. Obviously in the Western Conference, you see that Chris Paul is willing his team to win. But the Clippers, I think it'll be their second time winning in the playoffs, so they can pull off the series or something like that, or the second time in the second round, something crazy like that. But, you know, obviously a lot of the games, and we'll talk about some teams that have moved on as well in the second round, too. But, you know, there's been some teams that literally moved on tonight, too. So anything you want to talk about else as far as some other things that have been going on you want to mention as far as any series that are currently going on right now?
Well, let's get back to the Boston-Atlanta game last night. I thought, you know, it was a great win for the Hawks, of course. It seemed both teams played sloppy down the stretch with turnovers back and forth, but it was a gutsy win, you know, for the Hawks. It should be an interesting game to watch. I tell you, those are The two game sixes that I'm really interested in watching tomorrow night, of course, is Atlanta at Boston and the Lakers at Denver. I tell you about Philly-Chicago series. That's tough to watch. It's very tough to watch. I mean, that's some bad basketball being played in that series right now. No Derrick Rose, but they're going to play their game six tomorrow. I expect Philly to close out Chicago tomorrow night. But that's been some really tough basketball to watch in that series. But, you know, like I said, the L.A. and Denver series has been great. Hawks, Boston playing some good ball. Congrats to the Indiana Pacers moving on last night. Congrats to the Miami Heat moving on tonight. And so that's the first second-round matchup that is set, Indiana Pacers versus the Miami Heat. And I tell you what, I'm kind of a Heat fan, but I tell you, this Indiana team is can't be taken lightly. This is a team with some talented players, Paul George. They have some athletic players. They got a couple of good point guards, George Hill and Darren Collison. They got a good, strong front line, David West and Roy Hibbert. I don't think this is a team Miami just going to just go out there and expect the cakewalk. I mean, I expect Miami to win the series. I'm looking at like a 4-2 series. I think Indiana is a better team than a lot of people around the country knows about. So I think it should be an interesting series, but I expect Miami to still come out on top. I'm going to go out on a limb on this Memphis Clippers series. I still think Memphis is going to win this series. I may be crazy, but America, you heard it here first. I'm still picking Memphis. I know it's hard to come back from down 3-1.
But
wow. I'm still picking the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm picking them to win tonight. I'm picking them to go back. I don't know if you want to get your thoughts on that, but I'm going out on a limb. Sometimes you got to do it. I'm doing it on this series.
I don't think that's a good limb to go out on, Rob. I think the limb's going to snap on you because I'm thinking that the Clippers are gonna put the nail in the coffin on this one, sir. I know Memphis is playing a little they're playing aggressive right now, but I don't know about this one. That's tough to make a 3-1 comeback too. They may win tonight, but I think it's going to be tough for them. So we will see, sir. But that's just Andre talking now. So there you have it.
What are your thoughts on the Spurs and Oklahoma City Rams and them as well? They're the two other teams that have moved on to the second round. Both of them, they're the only two teams to win their first round matchups and sweeps. And, they're playing extremely good right now.
And, Rob, you're kind of fading in and out, too, on that, too. So I just want to give you a heads up on that, too. So we may want to switch in a quick second, too. So, just FYI, something to think about, too. But, like you said, there's a couple of definitely good games out there to be played. And I like the matchup, as you talked about, kind of getting back to the next series with Miami playing Indiana. And I think, definitely with Indiana, they got a legitimate big guy in there. And obviously, Darren Collison is playing pretty well, too. So we'll see how that plays out as far as I think Indiana is going to be a tough matchup for the Heat. You know, obviously, I think they're going to pull it off, obviously. But as you mentioned, it's not going to be an easy series. I don't think it's going to be as easy as the first series. And I'm actually glad that the NBA kind of moved back to a best-of-seven-game series, too, before we had best-of-five and whatnot. But I'm happy that all the games are best-of-seven, kind of lets us see some good basketball, besides the Chicago-Philadelphia series. But other than that, we'll see how everything plays out. I think Rob Ford is actually switching phones, which is great, too.
Yeah, it does. Chicago, of course, caught an extremely bad break. Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and, of course, a bad time to have injuries. Prior to the playoffs, I thought they were a very strong contender to win the East. And but obviously, it's going to be tough for them to even get out of the first round now without those players. You need stars in the playoffs. And so it's obvious now. I think Philadelphia will close them out tomorrow night and move on to the second round. And I know you probably don't want to hear this, but it's probably going to be Philadelphia and Boston in that second-round matchup.
You know what? I've just come to embrace this, man, because, the Hawks, they have a lot of some fundamental problems, man. So, mentally, they have to become a mentally tough team. So, you know, that comes with experience. That comes with having a lot of veterans on the team. But you know, I'm going with my heart. I'm hoping that they pulled out. But you know, obviously, Head says it's going to be tough for them, no matter what. But we'll see how things plays out. Let me get your opinion on this
before we move on
to
the next topic. I heard a reporter say that the Hawks, if they don't move past the, you know, the first round or the second round of the playoffs this year, they may just look to break the whole team up and just kind of start from scratch. They don't believe this team can go, you know, any further than what they have gone. What are your thoughts on that? Do you keep the team intact and just hope that, you know, they'll continue to get better together? Or do you think they should just start from scratch and try to see if they can build a championship team, which may take a little longer if you trade Joe Johnson, Josh Smith, and just start from scratch?
You know, I'm kind of in favor of kind of starting from scratch, and I hate to say that because it seems like we've done that a couple times, and I don't know maybe blowing up the team, but there are some pieces on there too, because if you look at the way the Hawks are built. I mean, obviously, Joe Johnson has been built to be the superstar, and he's really not. And I don't care if a guy's a complimentary player. I just want to see some emotion. If you have a guy that's making that much money, you want him to at least be excited or mad about certain things. And I think that's the problem with Joe, is that he's kind of like you're just a kind of average, a quiet guy. If he showed any emotion or any type of, you know, rallying the troops, I think we'd be okay with that. And also, if we are playing a game and you get beat, you get beat by your playing your best, and you know, you kind of put your heart on the floor, I think we'd be okay with that. But you know, right now it just seems like we're kind of in the middle. We're not bad enough to get a good draft pick. We're not good enough to advance. So you're kind of in this in that kind of like neutral place. You know, you're kind of like stuck in. You know, you're kind of like spinning your wheels. So, you know, obviously for me, as much as I hate saying that, because I know we've kind of went through this tearing down and rebuilding before, but this juncture. You know, I'm for it. I mean, I know we kind of knock aside and we wouldn't make the playoffs, but as I mentioned, something has got to change, and this is not the team. It's not built right. Yeah, that's just me. I hate to say that.
Do you think Larry Drew is the coach for them to start over, or just bringing in a whole new coach to start over?
I really don't know. I'm looking at the body of work. And sometimes there have been some questionable decisions that Larry Drew has made, and I don't know if it's, like you said, if it's been the makeup of the team or what. At this juncture, I'd like to have a good, maybe more of a big-name coach either, or a young guy, kind of like a Tom Thibodeau-type guy. You know, I'd love somebody that's kind of like the Greg Popovich coaching tree or something like that. I mean, heck, even a Jerry Sloan, man, I'd want somebody that just kind of brings something in there. Some name recognition in the Hawks, and it's kind of just help us to get over the hump, man, you know, because like you said, we're kind of stuck in that perpetual, you know, we're not good enough, and like I said, it's been in our will, so, you know, that's kind of my thought process, you know, so I don't know. I'm even in favor of having an up-tempo style like a Mike D'Antoni. We talked about before, you didn't think he's as good of a coach as Drew, but, you know, anything can kind of bring some excitement to the Hawks, man, you know?
Yes.
On that. I apologize. Yeah. We talked a lot about the NBA playoffs and stuff like that, too, because we've got 60 minutes left in the show. But, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about, and, you know, we can always talk about some stuff, obviously, in the OT. But, anyway, that's my thought process, too. But real quick, Rob, let me give the show numbers out for those who want to call and text in, obviously. Once again, the number, call is 424-243-9519. Also, for those that are wanting to reach us via text, is at 12th Man Sports as well. Mm-hmm. And a special shout-out as well to Gene Norman. I think Gene listens to us from Houston in Texas. And so thank you, sir, for listening in. Robert, I want you to say something as well to Mr. Gene. He always checks in on us as well.
Yes, yes, yes. Shout-out Gene Norman. Yeah, thanks again for continuing to listen to the show every Thursday, the next day. We know you're on the air down there in Houston. So we definitely want to show you some love, and we appreciate the love and support as well. And we want to move on to our next topic, which has been which has been pretty rampant conversations as far as the NFL. And I really think football as a whole, we talked a little bit about this off the air, is at a huge crossroads right now with concussions and so-called bounties and things of that nature. And it's getting to the point now where you're starting to see a lot of parents, or especially a lot of moms, who don't want their kids to play football anymore because of the danger of the sport and concussions and things of that nature. And, you know, we're hearing older players come out now saying there were bounties in the league when they played. And I don't know if you heard the Bill Romanowski interview today on ESPN. Great interview. I don't know if you had the opportunity to listen to that. Maybe for those of you listening who haven't, I think I highly recommend the interview. He talks about the culture of football and how it's a, you know, a physical sport and things of that nature. And he even talked about when he played, you know, yes, there were some motivational tactics that were used, you know, that involved money, but, you know, it was just basically saying that's just the, it was just that. It was a motivational tactic. It was not with the intent to injure anyone and things of that nature. But, you know, money was used to motivate players. And, I mean, it's a great interview. I mean, I can't really go over the entire interview. And but it's I really do right now. I don't think it's going to hurt football in the short term, but I think football long term is at a huge crossroads right now. And we all love the game, but it's going to be interesting and to see what's going to happen with football down the road. I even think that the NFL is going to have to start doing clinics with Pop Warner teams on a proper technique of tackling, and not tackling with the head, but make sure you keep your head up when you tackle, square your shoulders, to prevent concussions and things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, very hot topic right now, as you mentioned, Rob. And I think there's a couple things that I want to address. And obviously, the game has changed from, you know, even whenever Bill Romanowski played. I mean, the game has changed. And, you know, we keep talking about the system and how, you know, the players now are getting faster, stronger, all that stuff. You know, so you know, even back when Romanowski played, I'm sure there are certain things and certain bounties. And I think, as mentioned, we're not naive to say that there are not bounties going on. I think that there are bounties going on. That was definite. I think the fact that something we have to step back and take a look at is that there's certain things that were allowed back in the game whenever, you know, even back whenever, you know, the Deacon Jones played and the head slaps were illegal and shot blocking were pretty legal as opposed to now. Things that are not legal. And I think that's due to the fact that there's certain players, as mentioned, that, you know, you got a guy that's, you know, 300 pounds running, you know, a 4.5 or something like that. That's a pretty dangerous combination. So I think there's certain things that are put in place to protect those players. You know, as far as the bounties, as far as the monetary things that are going in there, you know, I think there are certain teams whenever you came after my player, hey, go after this player as well. And I think that was kind of within the rules of the game. And there are certain things that, Robbie, were not in the rules of the game. So, as you mentioned, let's not injure a guy, knock him out. There were some players, I think, that were crazy and maybe unstable. That could be due to maybe some steroids or something, things like that are alleged, obviously. And that's kind of what he talked about, Bill Romanowski, on certain things that he said that he probably – you know, you're juiced up, adrenaline's flowing, and there's certain things that are going on in your head, and you're just ready to kind of, like, just go nuts. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that maybe now, and, you know, kind of bring them back to the Saints, and that, you know, you guys, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and you guys were kind of holding the smoking gun. And unfortunately, with everything that was going on and the tapes that were going on, the fact that somebody taped this conversation and the NFL had proof of this, that didn't look good. And unfortunately, you guys are getting the full wrath of Roger Goodell. I don't think it's fair, but unfortunately, as mentioned, you guys are going to be made the example, and let's kind of clean up the game right now and make it so that, you know, the game is not a situation where, you know, all right, yeah, let's not go after guys. And even if there's an unwritten, unspoken rule about that, it doesn't look good, and that's kind
exactly.
of what's going on right now, too. So I think that's kind of where we are with the game.
And even
to
tape this.
Comment.
Yeah, even the tape that came out with Greg Williams, I mean, it's unfortunately football, you know, they're spoken word, but they don't necessarily mean it in the literal sense. When a coach says we're going to go out and hit someone in the mouth, they don't actually mean for a player to go out and punch someone in the mouth. And I think that's what the Saints is being accused of. The Saints did not go out with the intent to injure anyone. They just got caught with the spoken word. They didn't go actually have a clenched fist. You know, this is one of the things that Joe Vitt talked about as well. He says, we're being penalized for the spoken word. And every team in the league does this. We're going to go out and we're going to play physical football. We're going to go out and hit people in the mouth. And if you go back and listen to the Greg Williams audio, that's basically all it says. It's spoken word, but if you look at the film, there's no evidence of anything. So every team has a spoken word of physical play, but it doesn't necessarily mean the intent to go and intentionally hurt anyone. And I think that's where Roger Goodell has kind of lost it. I think he's this whole thing has kind of gone overboard for the most part. And that was another thing that Bill Romanowski was saying, is that, these guys are not motivated by money to go out and intentionally hurt anyone. I mean, this is just, football is just a collision game. That's just how the game is being played. And Chris Carter, as he talked about as well, he says, hey, you know, the football that I know, offensive players have bounties on defensive players and defensive players have bounties on offensive players, but it was just more so, you know, a spoken word. It was not the intention to injure anyone. It was more so a motivational tactic.
I got you. I mean, like I said, it's tough because I know we're definitely going to have this divide on this certain subject too, because like I said, I know you're talking about the spoken word, and the thing that is going to be kind of scary too, because, you know, as mentioned, you know, whenever you talk about certain body parts and certain things and ACLs and different things like that, and that's what makes it tough to say, all right, you know, maybe it was an accident, maybe we were just talking about it, but it just doesn't look good. And we talked about it before, you know, the whole thing, you know, that's my comment for people on the other side of the fence that say, all right, if you're going to like really talk about a specific part of somebody's body, and it could be words, it could be a lot of bravado, but still
exactly.
You know, like if I say, hey,
but like I said, you know, if you go back and listen to the tape, he doesn't say go out and hit the guy in the ACL. He says, let's find out if he's healthy.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's just as
so he's, we got to find out if this guy is healthy. And so it's in every team, unfortunately, you know, we don't want to, you know, we want to protect the game of football. But the game has had a culture of violence for a long time. And the very next week, you know, Kyle Williams said the Giants was intentionally trying to hit him in the head. I mean, that's just the culture of the game, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm not saying he's right, but unfortunately, you know, the average fan, you know, have not been exposed to the violence of the game. And, you know, I mean, the very next week, Kyle Williams felt like the Giants was purposely going at his head. He never even said that about the Saints.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's definitely one of those situations where, you know, I'm sure you're going to protect your guys too, Rob, you know, because I'm sure we know that Roger Goodell was pretty heavy-handed in his verdict too, and like you said, unfortunately, you guys are getting the brunt of it.
And we still haven't seen a piece of evidence to show that any of this is true. And for the Saints to get 77 game suspension versus bounty versus Spygate to zero suspensions, it's just not adding up.
Well, what about the whole thing about hiding stuff? You know, that's the thing. What if they said, hey, you know, we hear some rumors, you guys better cover this stuff up, or you know, what's going on?
Well, I mean, if that's taking place, you know, if those kind of things were taking place, then, of course, there is some kind of penalty that needs to be taking place. You know, should it be a full season? I don't necessarily agree with that. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you can go from suspending Belichick zero games to suspending somebody a full season. To me, that still just doesn't add up. And I think more so than anything, what this is all about, and a good friend of mine had this conversation just earlier today, this bounty gate needs to be changed to concussion gate. Because none of this would be going on if the NFL wasn't being sued by all these people for concussions.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of things going on from Junior Seau passing and, you know, a lot of players. And like I said, I'm going to hold fast to this. I mean, while I don't agree with the severity of the thing with the Saints, I do think of the fact that, and I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face, you guys are the examples because – he wants to clean this up and make sure that nobody else does this. No one else does hiding or you know, like I said, the whole bounty with paying for money things. I mean, there's going to be some underwritten things are still going to go on, and people are going to be hitting hard and stuff like that. But this is to make sure that no one else ever does this again. And unfortunately, the Saints are getting the whole, you know, wrath of God on this issue. So that's kind of where I'm thinking what's going on. And it's not fair. It's not right. But unfortunately, that's what's going on. That's what's going down. You know, the evidence, like I said, I'm sure that there's something out there. It may not be what you expect. I don't know if they're going to release it to the public. I'm sure Roger Goodell has something out there because I'm sure he wouldn't be doing all this if he didn't, you know, like I said, and maybe some hits that we don't think are vice versa could be questionable, and you know, I don't know, you know. I know you don't want to hear that as a Saints fan too, Rob. I'm just kind of saying that's kind of what I'm thinking is going on in the background. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, and Ed Werder came out with an interesting report. I don't know if you heard his report on last week. That he wrote an article that the NFL has totally overblown this bounty situation. Mm. He said that they're accusing the Saints of running a bounty program for 3 years, where they said if at all, it was only for 2 games.
Wow. Well, like I said, that's definitely one guy's insight on that, you know. I mean, there's got to be something, Rob, on that. I don't know. We'll see more. Like you know, like I said, smoke fire. There's got to be some gun on there, man.
Well, I'm sure they're guilty. They are definitely guilty of something.
Right.
But to the extent that they're being accused of, I don't think so. Because you just don't see it when you watch the game tape. You just don't see that the Saints did anything different from the other 31 teams in the league. You never saw a player jump up and stump on a player like you saw one of the Dominican Sioux. That's an intent to injure someone.
Right.
That's an intent to injure someone. Jonathan Vilma is being suspended for a full season, the same suspension that Dante Stallworth got for vehicular homicide. Jonathan Vilma's got one personal foul penalty in the last 3 years. Does that add up?
When you talk about manslaughter,
you get a full year suspension as Dante Stallworth got for vehicular homicide.
Yeah, I agree. That's a little. That's
the guy got one personal foul penalty in 3 years, and he's been suspended a full season. You talking about taking a man's livelihood away?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Now, this is not about the Saints, because the Saints can clearly win without Vilma. The Saints was 5-0 without Vilma last year. So it's not, I'm talking about Jonathan Vilma. I'm talking about the man's livelihood. The Saints can win without Vilma. I mean, they went out and signed Curtis Lofton. They went out and signed two other linebackers. They can win without Vilma. They won without Vilma last season. But still, that picture, the way Roger Goodell is doing these suspensions, is just not right. If a guy gets suspended for once, the same suspension as a guy got for vehicular homicide.
That's a tough one. Yeah, we've kind of been in the 2-minute warning. I know we got a little excited talking about this topic, so it looks like we're going to spend a lot of time in the OT talking about some other topics, whether that's the top players in the NFL draft or possibly Robert Ford's mock draft. We may say that for the following week. But, I agree with you as far as the excessiveness on that, Rob. I don't know if it's because Vilma was the ringleader or he put the most money in. I don't know. I can't comment on everything else as far as that, too.
Well, I'm gonna go into Ed Werder's report a little bit more in OT, so you guys want to stay tuned to this. And definitely want to stay tuned on this, but this is definitely an animated topic. So we got to finish talking about this a little bit more in OT. But definitely for you all, definitely tune in next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We're going to continue to tap into the NBA playoffs. We'll see if anything else comes out with the NFL and these bounties and concussions. So stay tuned on that. And hopefully we have a Drew Brees contract to talk about next Wednesday. So stay tuned. 5 p.m. for our friends down in Hawaii. Aloha, people.
Like I said, Rob Ford, this is Andre Peterson tuning in for the OT. We'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to 12 Sports. And don't forget to check us out 12 Minute Sports on Facebook. All that fun stuff. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.
Good night, good night, good night. All right, let's jump into the OT, which is what we are officially into right now. So I guess talk a little bit more about Ed Warder's report, Rob, because apparently you're pretty passionate about this. Let's talk about this and kind of your feelings on this.
Yeah, getting back to the Jonathan Vilma situation, you know, you brought up the fact that Vilma, maybe he's getting this year-long suspension because he was the ringleader. And clearly that's what Roger Goodell's thinking is. He wanted to go after the captains on the defense. And, of course, Vilma and Will Smith are the captains. And there's this alleged report that Jonathan Vilma threw $10,000 on the table to knock out Brett Favre. And as it turns out, that story is somewhat true, but there's a little bit twist to it. It wasn't Jonathan Vilma's money. And basically what happened was Greg Williams' $10,000. And he gave it to Jonathan Vilma as once again, a motivational ploy to throw the money out on the table to motivate the team to aggressively go after Brett Favre. And he used it as a motivational ploy and threw it on, and so Greg Williams gave him the money, threw it on the table, and Jonathan Vilma handed the money back to Greg Williams. It was not Jonathan Vilma's money. And this is a report by Ed Warder.
Right? Do you think this is right with what Greg Williams did, or you think the whole thing
played out? I'm saying what Greg Williams did was wrong in that situation. What Jonathan Vilma did in that situation was not wrong. Because he technically just followed orders from his coach. And it was not Jonathan Vilma's money. And so if that's all the NFL have on Jonathan Vilma, there's no way in the world he should be suspended for a full year. Like I said, this is not me taking up for the Saints right now. This is me taking up for Jonathan Vilma. Because as I said in the earlier part of the show, the Saints can win without Vilma. You know, I think, you know, not that we don't want him on the team. I think he's, you know, a great leader. And he seems like a great person as well. And he does a lot in the community and things of that nature. So this is just me speaking up for Greg. This is me speaking up for Vilma, not the Saints.
So are you saying that so whenever Greg Williams gave him the money, he gave the money back to Greg Williams, or did he literally take the money and throw it on the table? What exactly happened in this instance?
Well, I think he did what Greg Williams instructed him to do. Throw it on the table to motivate the team to go after Brett Favre. It's a motivational tactic. We can argue that it's right or wrong or not, but it's a motivational tactic. And the throwing the money on the table by Greg Williams, that probably was wrong. He probably could have used something else as a motivational tactic. But once again, I'm not defending Greg Williams right here. I'm defending Jonathan Vilma.
Okay.
If this is all the league have on Jonathan Vilma, then I don't think it's right to suspend him for a full season.
We're talking about smoking gun, Rob. So if you have the
we're talking
gun,
about
kind of...
as Bill Romanowski said in his interview. As if you go back, if you listen to Bill Romanowski in his interview, he says every coach in a league instructs their players to knock out the quarterback. We can say it's right or wrong, but that's the culture of football. That's just the culture. Bill Romanowski said this in the interview. Every defensive coordinator feels like they have a better chance to win if they can knock the quarterback out and bring in the backup.
Okay.
This is what they've been coached to do.
Right. Okay, so we're okay with knowing that it's a
I'm defending the players right now. I'm not defending the coaches. I'm defending the players.
Okay. Right. So this is a hot topic. So basically, we're okay with the threat, if you will, of taking out a player, yada yada yada, knock him out of the game, whatever. That's okay. So the next step, like if I say, all right, Rob, here's $25,000 for you to literally take out Drew Brees. Okay, $25,000. I'm putting on the table. Are you saying that you're okay with that, as opposed to just basically saying let's knock him out? But whenever you put some extra mustard or something on it, then all right, here's $25,000 on this. How does that feel? How does that look? That's the issue right here.
Like I said, I'm defending the players. Jonathan Vilma did what the coach told him to do. That's what he did.
I'm okay with that.
Jonathan Vilma
right now,
didn't put up the money. Jonathan Vilma did not put up the money.
He didn't put up the money, but I'm saying, though, but let's take it back. Like I said, if we say, all right, it's different if we're talking big, okay, go out and knock out the quarterback, you know, whatever. Everyone knows to try to protect our guy. This is what it's all about. Whatever you say, all right, like I said, here's $25K for you to knock him out. How does that look? How does that – that's where we're at right now. How does that work?
But, like I said, if the coach did it, it's on the coach. It's not on the player. It's on the coach. It's on Greg Williams in this instance.
Okay. But still, how does it look? Yeah. That doesn't look good, does it? Does it look good?
Well, it doesn't look good on Greg Williams. I'm defending Jonathan Vilma right here.
Okay, all right. So
I'm defending Jonathan Vilma.
So let's say if I say...
What Greg Williams
did
was wrong. So I'm saying that Greg Williams putting up $10,000 is wrong. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying
with
Jonathan Vilma. I'm saying why is Vilma suspended a year if that's all the league has against him?
All right, so we're trying to separate the act as far as the talk because... You know, there's two different actions that happened here. We had the talk as far as everyone and the bounties and that's going on. That's being said. We understand that. Then we're having the extra thing with the incentive. You know, the incentive, be it money, be it, you know, whatever, watches, dinners, whatever. There's two different things that are going on here. Then you have somebody following orders, okay? So now, like we said, Greg Williams said, let's knock this player out, let's test the ACL, whatever he said. Obviously, Roger Goodell thought a lot about it because he suspended him indefinitely. I don't think he's coming back. So now
I don't think Greg Williams definitely deserves some kind of suspension as a result of this. You know, we can debate on how long the suspension. I'm not arguing Greg Williams. Greg Williams definitely deserves some form of suspension. Based on the Ed Werder report, he still deserves some form of a suspension.
Okay.
You know, we can argue, you know, how long. So I'm not defending Greg Williams. I'm more so defending Jonathan Vilma.
Okay. Okay. And like I said, you know, my thing is it's almost like we're kind of splitting hairs on certain things too because, I mean, like I said, you know, John Vilma had the money. He didn't have the money. You know, he didn't put up, you know, whatever. The fact is, you know, you're still dealing with a smoking gun. You know, you can say, whatever, I don't want any part of it, but you were too close to it so that, you know, unfortunately, like I said, you know, Roger Goodell, wrath of God, man, he's going off, man, and you know, it's unfortunate that Jonathan is kind of caught in the middle of this, you know. Maybe his intentions weren't to put the money up, or maybe his intentions weren't to follow his coach's orders or vice versa. But unfortunately, he had the money somehow. He had it in his hands. Something happened. It didn't look good, you know. And like you said, you know, I don't think it diminishes him as a person. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything like that. You know, like you said, he does like a lot of community service. You know, he's probably a great teammate, not known for being a dirty player, if you will, but it's just too close to everything that's going on, and that's kind of where he's getting caught in that, you know. So, you know, we don't know the full details as far as everything that's going on. I mean, we don't know, like you said, if all the NFL has in him was maybe handling something. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not right, but like you said, the point is he was there. He was in it, you know. And Roger, you know, he has to come out. He has to do something about that, you know. No matter how you see, I mean, I'm kind of gonna use a reference. I watch a show called Game of Thrones, and you know, I know it's kind of a rough show. I would recommend that to a lot of people too. But there's a part where we have to prove to the armies that you're a good leader. So you have to kind of prove certain things, and it's wrong to do certain things. We have to prove it, you know. And these people aren't gonna follow you unless you prove this, you know. So it's like, you know, maybe Jonathan had to prove a point and say, all right, everyone jump on board because I'm doing this and I'm kind of following orders. It may not be right, but it's him kind of going on and making sure that he's following orders too. So, you know, end of the day, you know, you've got it on your hands. You can't take stuff like that back, you know?
Yes, but in Jonathan Vilma's defense, he was following orders. He was following orders from his coach. This was not something that he orchestrated.
Right.
This was not something that he was a ringleader. He was following orders from a coach. And so, and if this only happened for one game, Johnson Vilmon has one personal foul penalty in 3 years, so you don't have any evidence of him doing anything dirty on the field in 3 years. And does that suspension warrant the same suspension as Dante Stallworth got for vehicular homicide?
Well, like I said, I definitely don't
even
think
if
it's the same.
Even though you can say he's guilty by association of Greg Williams, if even if you say that, number one, he's still following his coach's orders.
Uh-huh.
If you don't follow your coach's orders, he can be benched. Number two, you know. Like I said, even if the NFL says you're guilty by association, does it warrant the same suspension as somebody got for vehicular homicide? And once again, you know, everybody listens to the show knows I'm a Saints fan. I'm not defending the Saints. I'm defending Jonathan Vilmon, the player. This man has a family to feed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like I said, the guilty by association, we can talk about Michael Vick being suspended for the dogfighting. I mean, we can talk about this for
exactly.
The base, man. You know, a lot of issues.
Does Jonathan Vilma's suspension warrants the same suspension Michael Vick got for dogfighting? Does it warrant the same suspension that Dante Stallworth got for vehicular homicide?
Well, like I said, I'm going to talk about this, but I'm blue in the face, and I think that, unfortunately, everything comes down to...
But we still haven't seen no evidence.
I know, but I'm telling you, that it comes down to... Everything comes down to... The Saints being made the example, and no one else is going to do this again. And
that's fine.
Fair.
I mean,
it's not fair.
I'm not,
that's
like
kind of
I said,
I'm not defending
the Saints. I'm just making I'm making the case about Roger Goodell and his decision making.
I feel you. Like I said, I know it's rough. It's rough. It's not right at all. You know, and like I said, I think I'm going to say this again. It's only because smoking gun. Guilty by association, make an example of this. Don't ever do this again. Saints, we're sorry. You're getting the wrath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm
like thinking. I said, you know, the Saints as an organization, if you're going to pick any organization that can handle this, they can handle it. So that's not the issue here. I'm more so defending the players in this particular situation. And Ed Werder's report, you know, he's basically saying, the players, for the most part, didn't do anything wrong in this situation.
Wow. Well, like I said, I can't wait to see that report, man. I'll have to take a peek at that and we'll see how everything moves forward.
There's some homework
that.
For you in the next week, man. You got to listen to the Edwards report. You got to listen to Bill Romanowski's interview. You got some homework, buddy.
There's both sides to take for this. We got about 3 minutes here. We've been so excited about this to table the next two, you know, topics because I think they're great topics as far as the top players in the NFL draft for next year, and obviously your mock draft for that too. So for everyone that's listening for the OT, thank you guys. We're sorry that we didn't get to talk about that. Go ahead, Ross.
That's okay. We had our version of Skip Bayless versus Stephen A. Smith today. So we had a good debate.
Not as excitable. Yeah, we try to keep everything, you know, a little bit friendlier, obviously, as opposed to that, too. But, you know, we definitely want to hear some feedback, what you guys think, and any thoughts. And yeah, let us know. Do you think that, you know, we're right on point with this? Do you think it's kind of like he was being told as to be a soldier, Jonathan Vilma, and kind of do his thing? Or you think it's a smoking gun thing where I'm coming from? Or definitely let us know what you guys think about this, because this is great, great radio, I think. So, yeah, keep it going. And I'm sure that this – topic's not going to stop, obviously.
Exactly. And as we close the show, you know, once again, you know, I'm not saying, you know, maybe Vilma shouldn't be suspended at all. I'm just saying is it warranted a full season compared to what Michael Vick and Dante Stallworth got. You know, if you spend them for two or four games, it shouldn't be the same suspension as somebody got for vehicular homicide. That's basically all I'm saying. And, you know, to me, for a guy who only had one personal foul penalty in 3 years, just didn't seem like he ever had the intent to injure anyone. That's, you know, that's my whole point.
There you have it, right from one of the biggest Saints fans ever. So we'll keep that going. And this is great, great radio talk. Like I said, we're looking forward to getting feedback, 424-243-9519 at 12th Man Sports on Twitter. Also follow us on Facebook. Add your comments. Check us out. We're always updating stuff as far as what's going on with sports world, comments, signings, all that fun stuff. Check us out. Tell us your thoughts, all that fun stuff. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Good night, people. Join us next week, same time, same channel.
Rob Ford, Andre Peterson, signing off. Thanks, guys, again.